Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Infinite complaints. People went to and fro the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and fate.
Shannon LeGros, it's Mr. Sam Sheeran. How are you doing? I hope you're well in this crazy continuation of times of madness and who knows what's going on and what to call it. But here we are, 300 episodes in, congratulations. And here's to another 300 and more and more and more. Well done. Very, very proud of you.
Hi, Shannon. This is Scott from West Virginia, and I want to tell you about a shadow person encounter that I had. This happened a few years ago, and it occurred over the period of about 8 months or so. I used to work for a company that would send teams to various job sites. These job sites were often here in my home state, but just as often would be in Kentucky, Ohio, or Virginia. And it was my job to drive the team to the job site and or drive them back home. Our local office had four different vans, and there were two of these that I was generally assigned to drive in a rotating shift with another driver. I put in countless hours on the road, driving anywhere and everywhere you could think of within these four states. Now, when I would head up to Ohio, it was pretty common for me to take Route 2 from Huntington to Point Pleasant, and then onward, or 77 from Charleston to Parkersburg, and then on up into Ohio. Both of these are kind of lonely, dark stretches of highway. There's not a whole lot going on, and it was on these two stretches of highway that I began seeing the shadow people. At first, it would just be a dark figure standing on the side of the road, often right next to a road sign. Sometimes I'd see them walking alongside the road or even crossing the road way up ahead of me. Now, at first, I was just kind of chalking it up to seeing things, you know. This had been happening fairly often when one night it kind of escalated. I was on Route 2 heading towards Point Pleasant, making my way to Jackson, Ohio. I was going to pick up a crew, so I was all alone in the van. Now, this is a very dark stretch of road. There's no street lights, there's no businesses, there's not much of anything on this stretch, so it is very dark. I'm driving along, and another vehicle comes up behind me. Its headlights are fairly bright and illuminated everything around me and the interior of the van. So, as you do when you're driving, I glance in the rearview mirror, and that's when I notice what looks like three people sitting in the back of my van. I did a double take, looked in the mirror again, and sure enough, there they were, three shadow people. shadowy, dark figures sitting in the back of my van. Cold chills ran all the way through my body. I probably would have pulled over, except there wasn't anywhere to pull over at. And I had a meet time that I just couldn't risk missing, so I kept driving. Periodically, I would check in the mirror, and they were still there. Up until I reached Point Pleasant, and, well, that's when they just kind of disappeared. This happened several more times on both of the before-mentioned stretches of road. Sometimes I'd see them moving their hands around or moving their heads like they were in a conversation. I honestly thought I was kind of starting to lose it, you know. The very few people I did tell about it said I was probably sleep-deprived or it was my mind playing tricks on me in the dark. But, you know, the thing is, I was used to driving through the middle of the night. That was my normal time to be driving. That's when I worked, and I wouldn't usually get sleepy until much later in the daytime. And as far as my mind playing tricks, well, I felt like I could distinctly see them, you know. The headlights behind me would show their silhouettes, just as if I had some crew members riding in the back. And then one last thing truly solidified it for me. I was in the office one day talking with the driver that I rotated vehicles with. We'll call her Kate. We're just kind of talking shop. And Kate looks at me and asks me if I've ever seen the shadowy phantom people riding in the back of the vans. Now, I had never once mentioned any of this to anyone at work. So when she asked me, my jaw hit the floor. We talked for a while, and turns out she was seeing the exact same things on those same stretches of road that I'd been seeing. Now, since then, we've both left the company, and, well, I can't tell you if it's still happening or not, but I'll never forget it. And quite honestly, it still haunts me to this day if I'm driving at night. That's the story. Thank you for doing all you do. I absolutely love your show. My favorite all-time episode is 158, Robert.
Hey, Shannon. My name is Elizabeth Terry Norwood. We're actually friends on Facebook. This is kind of a neat thing that happened when I was a kid. I was about 4 or 5 years old. My sister was maybe 8 or 9, and we were in the projects in St. Paul, Minnesota, and we were outside playing on the sidewalk, and we looked up into the air, and about, I don't know, 25, 30 feet away from us, floating down towards us, was this giant, I thought it was a bubble at the time, but, you know, I've come to realize since then that I believe it was an orb, so it was bigger than a beach ball. I couldn't have reached around it with both hands. We both saw it, and it just floated down towards us, and I remember thinking that Glinda the Good Witch must be inside there and waiting for her to appear, but I couldn't really see anything. It was just iridescent, and there's no way it was an actual bubble because it was way too big and it lasted way too long, and neither of us can remember if it, you know, where it went when it floated away. We don't really remember anything around after that, but that was just kind of a cool experience. And another cool thing was living in Texas. I was in a really old house, but anyway, I was painting this little wooden cradle. I had a newborn in her crib sleeping, and my other daughter that was about 5 was getting off the bus, 5 or 6. So I'm painting this little cradle. I had a little wooden heart cut out. It was a little antique one I had bought from a garage sale. And I laid my paint palette down inside the cradle, and I walked out to meet my middle daughter off the bus. And I come back in, and some little tiny finger had dipped its finger into the green paint and dotted all around that little wooden heart cutout that was on the cradle. I kept the cradle for a long time, but for the life of me, I can't remember what happened to it after that. I think just we lost it over moving a few times. But those were two cool stories. And then I've got some, unfortunately, far more spooky stories than good stories. But anyway, that's enough for now. And I love your show. Thank you very much. Bye.
Hi, Shannon. This is Rowan. And I'm calling to help you celebrate your 299th episode. I moved to the Ozarks during the pandemic to help my parents who are turns going in and out of the hospital. And while here, there are a lot of dark skies, for the past 3 months, I guess, I've seen something overhead that looks like a Christmas tree light string in red that is shaped like a triangle with a blinking light in the middle of it that is bright white, like, I don't know, like an LED almost. And the planes from Whiteman Air Base keep flying around it, like behind it and to the sides of it and everything else. And I've seen that a couple of times over the last 3 months. But then last week, there were four of these Christmas tree light triangles with the blinking light in the middle, and Whiteman Air Base hasn't been flying. There were no sounds other than the two fighter jets that they deployed. The Christmas tree light strings aren't, I thought maybe they were a satellite, or maybe it was something that I just wasn't aware of, you know, a new type of prototype plane. I know there are several of those in the works with the Navy and the Air Force and the Army, but these weren't anything like I'd ever seen before or heard of, and they weren't flying in straight lines. They would blink in one part of the sky, and then they would like zigzag, almost like a fly would fly, like a common house fly. Or, you know, it seemed to me that, and my eyes aren't the greatest, and I'm not the best witness, of course, but if I had tried to take a video of them, they weren't showing up on my camera. So I have a phone, an iPhone 11, and when I could look at them with my naked eye, I could see them. But as soon as I put my phone up to look through the viewfinder and take a picture or a video, they weren't there. So that's what I saw. And the last time I saw them was two nights ago. And that's all I had today. So I've given you some other stories and hope you enjoyed them. I'm sorry I'm not feeling well today, but my favorite episode of ITF, that would have to be the couple that were in New Orleans that had run into some extraterrestrials. I think they were the Scandinavian type, and they also had a run-in with a property that was endowed with a voodoo priest. So that was one of my favorites. It was a two- or three-parter, and I really enjoyed that. I want to call in and say hi and congratulations on your upcoming 300.
Shannon, happy 300. So in light of all these videos, the Nimitz videos and everything, I think that it's important to take a look at an oftentimes overlooked one that came out about 10 years ago, Skinny Bob. Ivan0135, that's the YouTube account, posted a series of videos 10 years ago, and they show a gray alien type in the first video, just sort of sitting there and gesticulating. There's a lot of animated movement, and there's an overlay of text, which was added later, obviously. These videos look like they were originally on some sort of black and white film, and it's really only gotten a lot of skepticism over the years. But to be honest, other than a few, you know, rabbit hole Reddit sort of explorations, there are very few people who have touched the subject. And I think it's because it's one of those things that if you watch the videos, they're so convincing that they have to be fake. Only there is no CGI that would look the way that they do. And the sort of money and resources that would be required to go into producing a film like that now, let alone 10 years ago, is far above the resources. We're talking about, you know, $1 million or more, far above the resources of some amateur YouTube videographer. This is certainly more than just your run-of-the-mill fake. And as there have some who have suggested that it was a trailer or some part of a film, and this has been disproven because there just hasn't been any other footage or any follow-up or any sort of, I mean, that in itself is just a guess. Really, if you examine articulations of these aliens. The fourth video, you actually see several of them walking. Their locutions are, you know, so convincing to me that it's as if it's like the alien version of the classic Bob Gimlin Sasquatch film that, you know, is still to this day stands up as probably some of the most irrefutable video footage of something unexplained. And this is on the same level. And I think tend to avoid this, to discredit it, is credit in itself that this is the real McCoy. So, happy Fourth.
About 15, maybe 16 years ago, my best friend bought a house in Pekin, and I helped him start with renovations so he could move in. When he moved in, there was melted candle wax and strange circles on the floor, graffiti on the walls, the ceiling had fallen in, drywall. So it was a pretty messy place. And almost immediately, we had some spiritual things start happening. The first night we started cleaning up and painting, we both had air mattresses, were sleeping on the floor because we were up late painting. And in the middle of the night, I woke up because I thought I heard something, but I promptly went back to bed. And, you know, waking up in the morning, I looked and there was what looked like a small child-sized handprint in the paint on the floor. My friend, we went through the house, checked all the windows. My friend kind of brushed it off, said maybe a raccoon or something got inside, or maybe it was one of us in our sleep and we didn't notice it, even though it was a very distinct child-sized handprint. From there, things seemed to escalate. We would smell rotten odors. Lights would just stop working. The temperature would just fluctuate. We would have it would be set at 72, and you would actually have moments where you could see your breath randomly. And you always felt like you were being watched in the house. We had a lot of people over one day, and he had a garden gnome that he got from his old job at Kroger. We named it Henry. And it was kind of sitting on the wall inside the house. And we had about 10 people over. We're all sitting on the couch. Some of us are drinking beers, and I think some of them were like vaping or smoking hookah. And in front of everybody, Henry levitated off the wall and shattered on the ground. The house cleared, and me and my friend Tim, we were left there, and he owned the house. He had put all his money into it. He had nowhere else to go, and so we stayed there. And we had several more parties. Things like that would just kept happening. He would brush it off to, you know, we have mice, we have rats, things like that. And then, you know, we were in a band as well. We kind of just played our instruments in the basement and left them down there. And I had a guitar and an amp, and he had a drum set. And one day they're all turned off. Everybody's upstairs. And downstairs we hear my amp turn on, my guitar strum, and his bass drum, the kick pedal, hit. And everybody was upstairs. We went downstairs and checked. No one's down there. And I think the most important and, you know, for me, the most frightening experience I had was I was in the basement sanding a electric guitar, the body of it, going to repaint it. And I heard what sounded like a horse walking on blacktop coming from the other room, the adjoining room where his water heater was. And I could hear it stepping. I could hear the chicken wire of the crawl space under the deck with the dirt moving. It sounded like something was climbing down. Well, I could hear it at one point. It even kicked a water heater hose that was going into a drain in the middle of the floor. And it walked, got closer and closer. And then at one point, the door swung open and I saw a shadow figure. It stood about 7 foot tall. You know, it was the scariest moment of my life. One of the scariest. I had this innate reaction where I took the guitar body, threw it towards the door, and I kind of jogged backwards into a wall and hit the ground, and I screamed. My friends all came down. They said I turned yellow. And the second that my friends start coming, the door shuts and there's nothing there. And I left and never returned. Well, this all stemmed from when we were doing yard work. When he first bought the house, we were ripping out two little trees in the backyard. They're about 15 foot tall. And we started digging out the roots, and we found two metal masks that were planted under the trees. One had spikes all over it. Each one of them weighed between 10 and 30 pounds. They were extremely heavy. And they had really small holes for eyes, and they were realistic, made out of like cast iron. And then the other one had a hand coming through the mouth with claws on it. Well, after I saw that shadow figure, I never returned. And I never touched those masks. They just left them in the backyard. They looked sketchy. There was symbols on them. They just looked scary. I never went back after I saw the shadow figure. And a couple months later, I'm talking to my friend Tim, and he said, I asked him, you know, how the activity had been. And essentially what happened was the masks, which were dug up at the beginning of him purchasing and working on the house, the second that we pulled those masks out of the ground, it was like a light switch. Everything went crazy. I mean, all of the activity just was blown up, got amplified like crazy. So one day, and please excuse me, I have chickens and I'm grabbing eggs, and so that's what you're hearing. So when the masks disappeared, and at that point, once the masks disappeared, all of the stuff that was going on, it all stopped. And it was crazy because it was almost immediate. We never figured out where the masks went. They just disappeared. Another side note is a dog that was left outside actually disappeared at the same time. Not the same day, I believe, but, you know, within, I think it was like a week or so of each other. So we're not sure if somebody like picked them up thinking that they could get some scrap out of them. They were sitting in the backyard on I believe it was like a glass outdoor table because I refused to touch them. And, you know, once I saw that figure, I didn't really live there anymore because I had been kind of living there about 3 to 4 days a week to do the repairs on the house and help them out. I had a recurring nightmare, which is really strange because the shadow figure that I had seen there was completely black. I mean, you could see a heavy, heavy outline in the middle of it, like a heavy, heavy, it was almost like really thick fog if it was black. As you got closer to like where the hands and the feet would be, you could see through, they were translucent. But when I actually saw it in real life, all I saw was black. I did have recurring nightmares where I would have normal dreams. I would just be dreaming as normal, and I would see the same figure, but with red eyes, bright, bright red eyes. I had never seen it with eyes. I don't know what that meant, but I just felt very disturbed in my dreams. So I began going to church with my parents because, you know, it was, I just didn't feel right. I felt very negative in everything I did. So I went to my parents' church, and I remember, you know, taking communion. And as soon as I took communion, the atmosphere changed, the air changed, and everything was different. I no longer had the same, you know, negative disposition towards my life, and I stopped having nightmares. So that's kind of the end of the story. But like I said, there's a whole lot more to it. We actually had some other pretty crazy experiences when, you know, the activity was at its height. We put a video camera, which I do not have the file anymore, but we put it out, went to a movie, and it caught, when nobody was in the house, a DVD getting thrown off the shelf, off of a DVD rack. We had about 10 people that witnessed the playback, but like I said, this was recorded on one of those super, super old camcorders that did like a VHS, and nobody has that tape anymore. So yeah, if you have any questions, let me know. I think this is the kind of the Spark Notes version. So I enjoy it. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is James Salcido from Salcido Paranormal, the podcast. As far as stories go, I couldn't think of one that happened recently, but I do have one that happened when I was a kid, maybe 10 years old, give or take a year. I used to go to a summer camp for legally blind kids, and it's out in the woods. I don't know exactly where in Michigan, but in my general area. I was always, you know, and still am, a night owl, so a lot of times at night, I would probably be the last one still awake. If I wasn't, then everyone else was being quiet in the cabin, too. This one night, after we were all in bed and everything, I heard a sound coming from outside, It was from the direction of the fire pit where usual camping kind of stuff would go on. And it was like chanting and shouting, but singing. I don't even know how to describe it, but it was several voices, but I couldn't make out what they were saying. And it seemed really loud. And I couldn't understand why the counselors from the camp would be doing that so close after putting all the campers to bed already. It only went on for a few minutes, but it was frightening at the time because I didn't know for sure who it was because I couldn't really recognize any of the voices and I couldn't understand what they were saying. And it seemed really loud, but also kind of distant. So that was an experience I had as a kid. If you like more stories like that, you can find me on Podbean. If you look up Salcedo Paranormal, you will find my page there. And from there, you will find all the links to all my socials, including my Discord server, where I am now doing a weekly live stream just talking about the paranormal. So thank you, Shannon, for all these episodes and for having me on as well.
Hi, Shannon. Johnny Calderon here calling to wish you a happy 300th episode. Been with you from the beginning, and I can't wait for the next 300. Keep on rocking. Thanks, Shannon, for everything that you do. Love you. Bye.
Shannon, my name is Justin. I currently live in Southeast Nevada, and I am a Baptist minister. I love the show. I'm particularly interested in the subject of Bigfoot. But this account is actually of my sighting of the Joplin spook lights from Joplin, Missouri, on the border of Missouri and Kansas and Oklahoma in there. It was the summer of 1998, I believe. I was in a band that played in the St. Louis area, and we had driven to Bartlesville, Oklahoma for a gig, and we were on our way back to St. Louis. One of the members of the band had heard about the Joplin spook lights, and we were all in our early 20s, and we're up for an all-nighter, so we got directions to the spot from a guy at a local gas station, and we arrived there after dark, but it was before midnight. If my recollection is accurate, it was an old dirt road on a straight stretch that dipped down into a valley and then rose again on the other side. The whole stretch was maybe a half mile or so, I'm guessing. And we parked on one end of the straight stretch and sat and watched and waited, just telling stories. We were not doing any drugs or alcohol. We were actually a Christian band. And it was me and the other three other band members that were in my buddy's Ford Explorer. And I remember it being a very dark night. I don't remember what the moon phase was, but it was dark. And for most of the night, absolutely nothing happened. We were actually pretty disappointed that it was a bust. We were getting ready to leave because we knew that it was going to be light soon. It was probably 4:30 a.m. But then, sure enough, on the horizon, down in the valley, a small ball of light appeared. And at first, we thought it might be another car, as others had come and gone through the night, but it wasn't. It started as a yellowish color and would change to an orange and even a red. And this light, I'm guessing, was less than 100 yards out when we first saw it. I'm guessing maybe the size of a basketball, maybe a beach ball. And it started getting bigger and closer. And it started bobbing up and down. And I've described it to people as if someone were dribbling a basketball in slow motion. Just a slow, steady bob up and down as it ascended the valley right over the road. I remember the glow illuminating the dirt road. And at one point, it split into three balls of light that would undulate between yellow and orange and red and even a pale greenish color. I distinctly remember these three balls of light appeared almost playful. They would chase and follow each other. At one point, they formed a loose triangle shape and slowly spun in that triangle formation approaching us. The balls of light emitted no sound that we could hear. We had gotten out of my buddy's Ford Explorer, and we were all standing by the hood, and we were all pretty freaked out. These balls of light kept getting closer and closer, and when they were about 25 yards out, I got really spooked and opened the passenger side door to get back in the car, as if that would protect me for some reason, but that's what I did. And as soon as I closed the car door, the lights winked out. They just completely vanished. We waited for a few more minutes. We were all pretty stunned, but they never reappeared. Back then, I was already considering the ministry, and I had the personal conviction that whatever it was that we saw, it wasn't something that honored God. So I never went back to see it. And for me, once was enough. Several of my buddies went back, though, and saw it again at least two more times. I never felt threatened by it, just spooked. But these lights appeared to have, dare I say, personality. They seemed playful but shy. So that's it. That's the time I saw the Joplin spook lights. Pretty wild stuff. Hey, I enjoy the show. Keep up the good work. Hope you have a great 300th episode.
Shannon, this is John Olson from Stranger Bridgerland Book Series. Thank you so much for 300 episodes. You do such an amazing job. We're just so excited for you, and please keep up the good work.
Hi, Shannon. This is Randy. I'm calling to leave a quick one-off story for your 299 episode. I was home on leave from the military sometime around 2006, 2007 at my parents' house. My mom was the only one home, just me and my mom. All my younger siblings were out, whether they're at school or somewhere else, I'm not sure. I was sitting on the couch reading a book. My mom was in the kitchen to my right, baking, cooking, something like that. And she was blasting her Jesus music out of her stereo to my left. So I'm sitting there reading my book in my peripheral vision. I see her cross in front of me, go over to the stereo, and turn the music all the way down to silence. Without looking up from my book, I ask her, "Hey, Mom, why'd you turn down your music?" She answers me from the kitchen and says, "I thought it was you." I look up, look in the kitchen, she's there. I look back to the stereo, nobody's there. But the analog dial, it's an analog volume dial that we have on this big stereo system, is all the way down to zero. And there's nothing there, nobody else home, no way it could have happened. So I was like, oh, hell no. I went over there, I turned up the music again, and I just can't explain it. I can't tell you whether what I saw was an actual doppelganger copy of her, whether it was a shadow person or what. All I know is that I watched something that I assumed was from my mom in my peripheral vision walk across my field of view and turn down the music all the way to zero. And it was just crazy. Anyways, congratulations on almost being at 300. You rock. Bye.
Hey, Shannon. Years ago, I was going through a divorce and living by myself, working on a mobile home that I was lucky enough to be in. And I was doing renovations, trying to get it good, you know, fixed up. During that time, at night, I would hear, like, pots and pans clanging, you know, moving around together. I thought it was mice in the house. And I met a girl and moved her in and her kids. And the noises kept going on in the middle of the night. I thought her kids were up messing around. And then all of a sudden, like, other things would happen, like wake up in the middle of the night and the bed would be just shaking. And one night, we're getting ready for bed. The master bedroom had a bathroom attached to it, like an ensuite. So I was getting ready to take a shower, and I was getting ready, and I heard the doorknob rattle, and I thought it was my girlfriend trying to get in or whatever, and I told her she could come in. I was just getting ready for a shower. She opened the door and she goes, "Oh, it wasn't me." So she closed the door and I proceeded to take my shower. And just for the fun of it, I say, "Hey, if that was a spirit, write your name on the mirror in the, you know, the mist on the mirror." And I took my shower and got out, opened the shower curtain. And like I thought, there was nothing on the mirror. So then it was my girlfriend's turn to take a shower, and she got in there, and I'm sitting on the bed watching TV, and I heard the door rattle, and I opened the door. Before I could say anything, I seen in the mirror there was the name Sarah written on the mirror in the condensation there. I told my girlfriend, "This is not funny," and she opened the curtain, and she saw it, and she scooted out of the shower without even turning off the water, getting dressed or anything. So that was kind of the freakiest thing that happened. And a week later, I was there by myself taking a shower. And I get out, and in the mirror, there's written in the condensation, "Hi, Greg." Nobody else was in the house. We had investigators come in. And in that bathroom, when they were checking it out, one of the investigators got locked inside the bathroom. And as soon as we said, "Sarah, let him out," the door unlocked, and he was able to get out. This is Greg from Indiana again. It was back in the early 90s. Friend and I, we'd ride motorcycles after work on second shift. So we'd be out till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. One night we were out riding, and we stopped alongside this country road to have a cigarette break and just, you know, talk. And we're sitting there on the motorcycles, just lit up, and we saw 3 lights in the distance moving kind of slow, and I thought it was like 3 airplanes. The lights were coming to us real slow, and as it got closer, we realized it was not an airplane, and it was about maybe 75 feet off the ground. This thing was huge. It was twice the size of a semi, triangular shape, 3 lights on or 1 light on each of the 3 corners, I guess. We could see like a cockpit with the glass. I couldn't see in, but this thing was, it was moving so slow. If it was a plane, it had fallen out of the sky, making no noise whatsoever. I had the feeling that whoever was in this could tell that we were watching. I don't know how I knew this, but it just felt like whoever was in there knew that we were there, and this thing flew right over top of us. I could have thrown a rock up and hit it, but I was just in awe of what was going on. I mean, if you were in a house, you would never know this thing was outside. So we just stayed still until this thing went over the trees, behind us there. And we got out, but I didn't have any missing time that I know of. But that was the weirdest unidentified flying object I've seen. Now, we lived about 60 miles from an air base at the time, so it could have been military or who knows. But I just thought that was weird. But anyway, this is for your 300 show. I hope you can use it. Thanks. Love the show.
Hi, Shannon. It's Pete Haviland. Congratulations on 300 episodes. It's a hell of an accomplishment. I couldn't be happier for you. And look forward to talking with you at some point. And you have a great one. All right. Congratulations. Bye.
Hey, Shannon. This is Tony. Finally getting room to give you a call. Got a meaning to write and call. Congratulations on 299 and 300. Awesome podcast. Always a fan. I was 16 in 1982 and was going on a big camping trip with my brother. He's about 5 years older than me. Annual camping trip up to the Salmon Lissac area. Not even really a campground, just a huge spot off the side of the gravel road at the edge of the mountains, or the glaciers as they were calling it. You could see way up into the hills. So there's about 20 people, bonfire, tank tops, cutoffs, tunes from the cars, typical late 70s, early 80s summer party. I think this was about June or so. And we left on a Friday, got there late Friday, and it was just going to be volleyball and partying and beer all week long. And we were going to go hiking on that Sunday morning before we left. So we're making a bunch of noise all weekend, all through till Sunday morning. Hardly anybody ever slept. Probably could hear us for miles. At one point, I remember looking up toward the glacier and saw a mama bear and her cub. I thought that was really, really cool. Wanted to get up there and see what else there was to see. So we finally made our way. It was quite a walk. Had to go across this little riverbed and all up into the hills till you reach the snow. And we were all walking. There's about 10 of us, I think, walking about 10 feet apart. And I remember it was just a gorgeous day, blue sky. It was completely silent, but it was chilly and it was sunny. We were having an awesome time. And it got eerily quiet, though. I remember all you could hear was running water underneath the snow. Because remember, there was big cracks in the glacier, and you could hear water. I'm thinking, God, if one of us fell down there, we'd be completely screwed. So we're being very careful, and we're walking. And this is where it gets weird. I heard this grunting noise. It was more of a chant, actually, and I can't really do it justice, but it was kind of like, and this went on for, God, must have been about 20 minutes. I mean, over and over, and it wasn't loud. And the one thing I can't really explain, it wasn't loud, but it was all around. You couldn't tell where it was coming from. It was all encompassing. It was close, but I honestly couldn't point into a direction to where it was coming from. And the guy in front of me, as we're walking along, looked back to me and gave me like, what the heck is this look? And I just shrugged my shoulders. I had no clue. And I said, this went on for like 20 minutes. And it didn't sound like a bear. And I thought about this years after, and with the advent of the internet and looking at bear sounds, nothing comes close. It sounded like a primate, like a big primate grunt, like a gorilla grunt. We continued walking on, and the weird thing was, it seemed like we just forgot about it. No one talked about it. No one, like, you think if you heard a big grunting animal for that long, you'd think there'd be some ample discussion around the campfire or when you're packing up to go, like, what the heck was that up in the hills? Because this sound was everywhere. And I hadn't really even thought about anything until several years later when I started researching Bigfoot and cryptids online and wondered why no one talked about it. No one brought it up. It's the only acknowledgement of the sound when we were walking up in the hills was the guy that looked back at me like, what the heck is that? So to this day, I can't explain it. It sounds like no bear. That I could not find any bear grunting noises, any reference to what noises a bear might make if it was being territorial or just hunting or something. This was definitely a primate grunt. A chant is what it was. It was regular, it was uninterrupted, and it was at least 20 minutes long. And yeah, that's my little camping tale. I hope this helps for the show. And again, congratulations on the 299 and 300 milestone. Talk soon. Bye-bye.
Hi, Shannon. It's Tony from ITF 273, Demon Hill. One of the few stories that we didn't get to in our very long podcast time is we actually picked up a satanic ritual book from a worship place here in Pennsylvania. And I took it home and I was messing with my sister one night. And I actually put the candles up, I drew the pentagram, I drew everything on the floor that was in the book. And it was just a joke, you know, just ha-ha, we're in our 20s, you know, having a good time, what have you. And after I lit the candles, I turned out the lights and I read the incantation. I heard my sister scream from her bedroom. And of course, I jumped up and I was laughing and whatever. I went into her bedroom and she said something ran underneath of her carpet under her feet. And she jumped up on the bed. Whenever she jumped up on the bed, her light exploded which is pretty crazy. It was all a joke. You know, I don't know if what happened really happened, you know, but it's very coincidental considering I was reading from a book that we had gotten, my friends and I, you know, goofing around. So just kind of want to add the story. Kind of interesting. She would back me up 100%. It really did happen. You know, whether it was coincidence or something legitimately actually happened. I'm not a religious guy. I don't believe in Satan, hell, all that stuff. But I thought it was pretty interesting that the whole situation occurred and it really freaked her out, which made me super happy. All right, Shannon. Bye.
Hell yeah. Happy 300th, ITF. Shannon is a rockin' paranormal goddess, and as a longtime fan, I enjoy all the episodes. I'm Nishi, and here's a story of what happened to me during the pandemic. If you've heard about David Pilates missing 411, well, I think I almost became one of those missing. I love the outdoors. As soon as the restrictions were lifted from the state park and hiking trails, my brother and niece and I hit a trail in a close-by forested park. It was a windy day, and I had a sense that the forest felt sassy. It was really sassy. Now, I had just recently given my brother and niece the lowdown on POS, which means point of separation, as in, don't do it. Well, I was so happy to be in nature and that I started lollygagging behind. Where I stopped to breathe in the sights was at a bend in the trail. My brother and niece were uphill, going around another bend further up the trail. On my right of the trail, there was an embankment that was just about 3 feet high. And like when I had been walking further back on the trail, I had just been thinking about how thick the woods were and it would be impossible for anyone to hike through it because sometimes I like to go off trail. My first thought when I heard the crashing through the forest on my right was, oh shit, I better run now, which I did, because something huge was running down the hill through the forest straight at me. I ran around the bend out of the way of whatever was coming. I had turned to see the bushes and the trees shaking as whatever it was must have reached out to try and grab me. But this all happened as I was running, and I was looking back. And then I saw that, and then I started shouting, POS, POS, because you know, I didn't know what else to say. I didn't see what it was, but as soon as it realized I wasn't there, it started pacing me up that hill. It was loud, and it was on two legs, so it had to be big. My brother and niece heard me calling out and were backtracking at that point. They were asking what was happening, and as soon as that thing pacing me heard their voices, it stopped dead in its tracks. And I mean dead. It went silent. I even stopped and told them to shush so I could listen for any noise. And I looked hard into the forest, and I could see there was nothing. Nothing there. It was creepy as heck. I've lived in the deep forest for many of my years. I've had several encounters with cougars, been fake charged by a black bear. I've tracked other animals. This did not sound like any of those things. And considering the park's outer perimeters were surrounded by plenty of houses, I'm not sure what to make of it. The only thing I think it might have been, I mean, it's a possibility it was a large elk, but I'll never know because to me, it sounded like it was on two legs, not four. Even now, my brother and niece agree, it was weird. So cheers, everyone. Thank you for letting me share, and congrats, ITF.
Hi, Shannon. This is Nicole from the PEEP podcast. That's PEEP, which stands for People Experiencing Everyday Paranormal. I wanted to share a story with you that I haven't shared on my own podcast or in my book. It's something that I haven't told a lot of people, so kind of an exclusive for you. I was around the age of 30, I went back to school to get a meteorology degree, and I've always been sensitive, but I, in my early 20s, had hung out with some professional psychics who taught me how to put my walls up so that I wasn't constantly being bombarded by other people's energies or being distracted by spirits that were around. So I went through school with my walls up.
I got out. I got a job in St. Paul, Minnesota, moved up there, and had really just been focusing on education and science for about 4 years. So when this happened, it surprised me. I had the day off in the middle of the week, and I drove over to Stillwater, Minnesota, which is on the St. Croix River, I believe. And it's just an old town with a lot of sawmills and old factories. And on the main road, many of them have been turned into antique stores. So just out of curiosity, I was wandering through an antique store that was two stories tall and very, very long and very old. The building, I think, had been a sawmill. It was mostly made out of wood, lots of creaky floorboards, and full of old energy because it was full of antiques. So there was me, another shopper who was never quite in the same part of the store at the same time, and the employee there. And as I'm walking through the store, I kept feeling like there was somebody else following me. And I would look around, and the other shopper would be far away or even on a different level. I couldn't see anybody. So I just kind of told myself that maybe it was just the old energy from all the antiques around me kind of giving me a creepy feeling. After about 30 minutes of walking around, I was upstairs, and I felt like there was a man standing behind me looking over my shoulder, to the point where I turned around to say something, just to be friendly, and there was nobody there. A few minutes later, I decided I don't see anything that I want to buy, so I go downstairs, and some shiny jewelry catches my eye, so I stop to look right before I get to the checkout counter. And at this point, the other shopper had left, and it was just me and the girl who was working behind the counter. She surprised me by blurting out, "Did you know this place is haunted?" And I was like, "No kidding. Do tell." My entire life, I've had stamped on my forehead, "Please tell me your ghost stories," which is why I do what I do now, which is paranormal investigations and podcasting on paranormal. But at this point, I just was so far removed from all of it, it shocked me. She told me that there was a man who haunted the place, and he only came out after they were closed. I did not correct her on that one. I didn't want to freak her out. She said probably the most amazing thing that had happened was she could not find a key to the cash drawer after she had locked up one night, and she needed to find that key before she could leave. She looked everywhere. She just got totally frustrated. She slammed her hands down on the counter, and she said, "Where is that darn key?" And it appeared in front of her in midair and dropped onto the counter. Pretty awesome stuff. Okay, that's my story. Congratulations again on $2.99. Thank you for doing what you do, and have a great day.
Good evening, Shannon. This is Frazee number 91, I believe. Cody Turk. Big fan of the show. Favorite episode is definitely anything with Pam and the Fae. I believe there's two episodes. And then the Bigfoot Odyssey episode, which was amazing. And then I think it was episode 181 where the judge, I guess when he was a kid, was chased by the Wolfman or Dogman and was sprinting down the road. So to me, I think those are definitely, I would say, monumental episodes of your show. Enjoy them very much. So I got a quick story here. This is one that I share with my older brother because he actually lived in this house. And so I guess it's at the time I was a sophomore in college at a college that's kind of South Central in Texas. It was under a different name at the time. At Southwest Texas State University was the name. That was just Texas State, in a town called San Marcos, Texas. And by this time, I was a sophomore. My brother he went to school there too. He had already graduated, but he was hanging around because he had a band that was kind of semi-successful thing, and he really wanted to ride that out, I guess, before he went on his, you know, career path and adulthood. So I had taken a job my spring semester, sophomore year, and spring break was coming up, and they would close the dorms during spring break. So I wasn't going to have a place to stay. I wanted to work. I needed to work because I needed the money. And it just happened that my brother, who's living in this large old house with all of his band members, was actually going on a mini one-week tour to Florida and back with the band to play some dates. And he said, well, this works out great because I can house it while the band's away. So I said, oh, yeah, no problem. Let's do it. Yeah, perfect situation. I was working, not exactly the late shift, but I would get off around 10:30, anywhere between 10:30 and 11 p.m. at night. So when I would go to this house had like six bedrooms in it, two stories, very large. Kitchen was located in the back, and the kind of a dirt drive would come up to the back of the house. So you'd always enter into the back, and it would be kind of strange to enter into the front. I would come home, and I would go to one of the bedrooms where one of the band members had a really large stereo system, and I would fill the house with noise by cranking up some music. So one particular night, I believe this was the second night I was there. First night, I believe there's one other person that was staying in the house, but then they weren't there the second night. So this is the only night I'm there. So I put on a CD and I cranked up the sound. I think it was Sting's Seven Songs of a Sumner. And I go into the kitchen area where the phone's located. I didn't have a cell phone at the time, so it was still a corded phone. And I was calling a girl that I was talking to at the time. And I had the music on pretty loud just so I could have noise in the house because it's such a large house. And then I noticed as I was talking to her, the music would slowly get quieter and quieter and quieter. And on this particular stereo, there was a volume knob that had a little red light on it to indicate where it was turned up to. And I went over there, back into that room, and saw the stereo and saw the volume knob was turned down. So I thought, okay, that's weird. Maybe there's something wrong with the stereo. So I turned it back up, went back to the phone, had continued my phone call. And then, of course, same thing happens again. Just gradually, the volume turns down. I go back in there and I notice, okay, there's a red light. It's turned all the way down, so I can barely hear it. So at this point, I kind of get freaked out because I know that that knob doesn't move on its own. So the girl that I was talking to at the time, I just kind of playfully said, hey, something strange kind of going on here, doesn't feel right here, and something's going with the stereo. So I ended up driving over to her place that night and spent the night on the couch. Now, I did spend a lot of my time at work when all this was going on, but the few times I was at the house, it was always something happening. So during the week, I believe it was like the next day when I was at the house, I went to go take a shower, only one in the house, and you could hear like footsteps upstairs. You could hear doors opening and closing, sounding like someone had come in and was just going through cabinets and stuff like that. So it got pretty creepy. And I remember getting out of the shower and then just getting completely dressed before I went to go investigate. And it didn't look like anything had moved. And so going on, I had gone back into the room and I had left the door open just in case if there was somebody there, maybe I would see them. And I was sitting there and I was putting my shoes on, and right out of the corner of my eye where the open door was, I could see a figure, looked like he's wearing blue jeans and a gray sweater, walk by the door. And I kind of freaked out thinking it was an intruder, so I got my shoes on and slowly crept over there and stuck my head out, and I didn't see him. And then after I realized that I couldn't see him right outside the door, I decided to probe the house and see if anybody was there. And it turns out nobody was there. Sleeping there was another ordeal. Just at night, you're hearing footsteps up and down the stairs. You're hearing what sounds like people walking. You would hear conversations. One of the freakiest times is when I was getting ready for work and I was just about to leave, and the band had wrapped on the banister going upstairs. They wrapped Christmas lights all the way up the banister. And as I was leaving, I kind of heard a bang and I was getting dressed. I was like, okay, this house has definitely got something going on. But as I was leaving, I stepped out of that room, these Christmas lights were turned on and there's nobody there. And then I look down and I see that the cord's unplugged, and I freak out and I run out of the house. And so after work about midnight, I get home,
come inside. Those Christmas lights aren't on. And I was thinking to myself, well, maybe it's a double-ended strand. Maybe it's plugged in upstairs. I went upstairs just to check, and nothing was plugged in. So I did what I could to try not to stay in that house, whatever I could. So I did couch surf the rest of the week. Eventually, my brother and his band came back, and I still need to stay another night. So I was like, okay, well, he's here. I'll stay one more night just because he's here and the band's here. And it, you know, it shouldn't feel so uncomfortable. So I go on to tell him, I was like, look, I don't know what's going on with this place. There's definitely some weird activities. I tell him about the lights. I tell him about what it seems like people are moving around when you're in the shower. Like there's people in the house. I said, I'm pretty sure I saw somebody walk past the door and they weren't there. And he goes, oh, you saw someone walk past the door? And I go, yeah. And my brother asked, was he wearing a gray sweater and blue jeans? I was like, yeah, that's pretty spot on. He's like, oh, yeah. So apparently there's a history behind this house. A college student had a really bad breakup with his girlfriend, and he had decided to take his own life. Because I guess that's how bad his breakup was. I never researched that, but there was also another story my brother told me about how a little girl, I'm not sure the age, I'm thinking maybe 2 or 3, was abused in that house and had eventually died, and the parents had tried to hide the body at one point. And my brother was telling me that he was exploring in the attic and he found what appeared to be very old children's clothes, like a girl's clothes. And so that was really freaky. I kind of wish he would maybe given me a little bit of heads up on that whole situation. Before I started sleeping there, I would have probably just couch surfed the whole week. But it was definitely interesting. He definitely tells me that he's seen that one apparition I saw. They hear sounds all the time. One thing that really scares them is that, yeah, the Christmas lights have happened, but they say that one bedroom in particular, they'll wake up in the morning, it'll be like a giant light, like a spotlight is on inside this guy's room, and the door's locked. And they don't know what the source of light is. It says super bright. And they'll start banging on the door. And the guy inside won't hear them. He's dead asleep. And they'll eventually give up. And then like an hour later, the guy comes out. And they'll ask him, like, what was that light? What was going on? Didn't you hear his banging? And the guy has no recollection of that at all. So definitely a strange story. I always joke about it with my brother. I'm like, one of these days, we need to go back to that house and see if we can do some kind of investigation or something there, because it definitely was very, very active. So love the show, Shannon. Thanks for letting me call in. And, yeah, happy 300s.
Hi, my name is Jason Smith, and I just want to tell a quick tale about when I was about 12 years old, living in Central California. It was that night there was a meteor shower. And me and my friends were outside watching it. Like I said, I was about 12 years old, Friday night, meteor shower, out late. Everything was good with the world. And as we were watching the meteor shower, I glanced across the street from where we lived. Up on the rooftop, I swear to this day, it looked like some sort of bipedal panther. It was all black, had to be at least 10 to 12 feet tall, and the tail was the same length as the body. So this thing was probably almost 20 feet in total length. And like I said, it was bipedal, but it was hunched over, like it could easily go on all fours, but also go on its hind legs as well. And I saw it, and it was just stood there on the rooftop of the house across the street from where we were at. And I don't know if it knew I was watching it or not, because like I said, it was just completely black. I couldn't see any reflection of any eyes or anything like that. I was thinking to myself, maybe it's just my eyes messing with me because I've been watching that meteor shower. And then all of a sudden, that thing just took two giant steps and leaped from one rooftop to the neighboring rooftop. And that jump had to be a good 15, 20 feet, and it did it with absolute ease. And at that point, I just stood up and I just dumped myself out of there. Told my friend, hey, I'm going to bed. I just saw something, and I explained to them what I saw. They laughed it off, told me I was crazy, but I swear that's what I saw, and I went to bed that night. But the crazy thing is, it was probably the next night or the night after. I was up late. My parents were asleep. My younger brother, he was asleep, and I was all by myself in the living room watching TV, when all of a sudden it sounded like something just landed on our roof. It was just three loud bangs. It didn't sound like anything fell from the attic. I mean, it was impossible if something fell in the attic, because it would have went through the ceiling, because we didn't have any hardwood up in the attic to store anything. So this thing landed on the roof. And, you know, once again, once it, I heard that, I immediately thought, okay, is it what I saw the night, you know, the night before or the night before that? I note myself again. I turned off the TV and I just went to bed. So, yeah, that's just my quick little story of seeing some sort of cryptid, demon panther. I don't know what you want to call it, but I love the show. Love listening to the podcast. Look forward to it every week, and I hope you find this helpful for the show. Thank you very much. Bye.
Hello, Shannon. My name is Kurt Hansen. I'm from Alberta, Canada. I have a story that took place in October of 2009, but it took place in southeast Saskatchewan, out on my wife's parents' farm. We had been living there for several months and in between places. It was a fairly warm October night, and it was warm enough that we had our windows open in our bedroom, and we also had a fan running in the bedroom. We always sleep with the fan, even to this day. But that night, we went to bed just like any other night, and nothing really had ever happened here before. I mean, we had a couple cats that acted funny a couple times in the house, but it wasn't anything that you would write home about. So anyways, on this night in particular, I remember waking up in the middle of the night, and it was because the power was out and the fan was off, and that's what woke me up. I just remember it being dead silent. Even outside with the window open, I couldn't hear any bugs, any crickets. You can, out on the prairies, there's always something making noise at night, some bugs or something. It was dead silent. And I think I remember at the same time my wife waking up and her being like, oh, the power out? What's going on? And I'm saying, yeah, the power must be out. No sooner did we say that than we started hearing this noise coming from the roof. Her parents' farmhouse had a tin roof. I don't know if you can hear right now. I'm actually sitting in my car, and it's kind of a gentle thunderstorm out. But it wasn't like rain on a tin roof. It sounded more like metallic, like nails or claws tinkling down on the roof, like claws, kind of like walking across the roof. And I remember us being like, what in the hell is that? Because you couldn't hear any rain or anything. My mind went to that immediately, just because the power was out, and I thought maybe we were getting a thunderstorm. But October, that's pretty late for a thunderstorm up in Canada. And it didn't sound like rain. It was too slow and repetitive. And then that stopped. And then again, it was just dead quiet. But at that point, this feeling of dread had started to sink in, of there being something else going on. So we were kind of just like laying there listening. And then the next thing happened, which was even more creepy, and we still don't know what it was to this day. It was like water, and it sounded like if you wave your hand gently through a bathtub, in the water in a bathtub, and it's got that kind of gentle, not like a trickling I don't know the word to describe it, but that's what it sounded like if you gently swish your hand around in a bathtub of water. But it wasn't just that. It was one, it would make that sound, and then something else would answer it with that same sound. It was like, it sounded like a language, and that just scared the absolute shit out of us. And those voices, well, I like to call them voices because I don't know what else to call them. It happened for maybe a good 20, 30 seconds of this back and forth. And it was fast sometimes and slow sometimes. And it was like literally right outside the window, right under the window. And both of us, like our hearts were up in our throat. And it was to that point where you don't even want to breathe because you're scared it was going to make a sound. And like, I don't know if it was aliens or fae or spirit or what it was, but it did not feel good. It felt like something really bad was going on. And so then it just come to a stop, and then that was it. And it continued staying absolutely dead quiet. And I remember we laid there for probably a good half hour. And eventually my wife, she like whispered in my ear, like, "I gotta go to the bathroom." So I was like, "Oh man, well, okay, well, let's get up." So I got up first and I crept over to the window and like slowly and quietly shut it as quietly as I could, just because that's what you do, because something might be outside. So anyways, the bathroom luckily is like right outside the doorway, kind of across the hall. And so I go out first and make sure the coast is clear and everything. My wife goes and sneaks into the bathroom, and I'm making my way down this little short hallway into the kitchen. And I can see on the ceiling some light flashing from outside, like a really dim light. And I know right away what it was. It's those solar lights, like that you put in your lawn or around your patio. And one of those ones that slowly turn color at night. It goes through all the colors. And that, but this one was sporadically like strobing through the colors really rapidly on and off and sporadically. I start creeping over the window just to see what's going on. And I'm still hunkered down because it's like, I don't know if anything's outside looking in the windows and can see me because it's pitch black in the house. But, and it's pitch black outside. It's one of the darkest nights I've ever seen in a long time. I kind of start peeking over out the window to take a look at this light. And as soon as I look at it, it stops doing that and goes into its normal pattern, and all the power comes on. Our fan comes on, the air conditioning kicks in, everything just kicks on. It was like when I looked at that light, it kind of broke the spell, or it broke the time shift, or I don't know. It's so weird. And yeah, we've tried talking to people about this, and you know, it's one of those weird one-off stories that you just don't know what it was. I've listened to your show for quite a long time, and I've listened to so many other shows. I've never heard anything like this. I've Googled to try to find like water voices or water spirits talking, anything like that. And I've never been able to come across anything to explain that weird water scent. The next morning, I went outside and I went to go check to see what all these sounds could have been. I checked the rain gauge. There was no rain in the night. It didn't rain. There was no rain in the forecast either. And I went to go check because I knew there was kind of a bit of a patio outside behind the house, just like cement paver stones, really simple, that her dad had built. And he did have one of those little plastic kiddie pool things where it's all just one piece of hard plastic, but it was leaning up against the wall, and there was no water anywhere or standing in anything. I couldn't find any water, source of water that could have caused that, because it would have had to have been water that was at least 10 inches deep or so for it to get that swirling sound. But there was nothing out there, and like I said, it didn't rain. I looked up on the roof to see if there was anything like rocks or something, if someone threw some rocks up on the roof. There was nothing up there. It was completely bare. I didn't find any footprints outside. There's nothing. There's no evidence to say that this happened other than us saying that it happened. And we talked to my wife's parents the next morning to ask them if they heard anything, if they experienced anything. And no, they were both sound asleep. They didn't hear anything. So they weren't any help. So that's my story. You might have seen, I've posted a picture on the Facebook group before of my one time when I was out at a place called Abraham Lake, and I took a picture. It was a couple of years ago during a full wolf moon, super wolf moon, and it was in the middle of the night, and I was out on this frozen lake, and everything's kind of like purple and turquoise colored out there. But I've got some possible Sasquatch stories from camping out there. I go backcountry camping out there by myself a lot, and I've had a few really weird instances where one of them could have been Sasquatch, another one of them could have been Fae, another one of them could have been ghosts, like I was saying about this weird experience. It was kind of, there's nothing happens. The same thing happens twice when I'm out there. There'll be something different. If you'd like to talk about that sometime, I'd be more than happy to. I've also got a few ghost stories and possible UFO sightings. I don't know what else to describe them as, but yeah. Thank you for giving me the chance to tell my story, and thank you for all the work you do for us and for putting on your show. And I look forward to all the new movies coming out. Thank you very much. Bye.
Hi, my name is Sarah. I'm not sure if it's too late to call in for the episode, but totally slipped my mind till this morning. I want to tell you about the time that my son saw what I think is probably shadow people, because he was so young at the time and definitely didn't have any exposure to that term, and that's what surprised us and makes us totally believe him. So we had recently moved into, it was in our new house at the time. This was about a little over 10 years ago. He was about 5. He's almost 18 now, so maybe 12 years ago. He came to me one evening and asked me who the people were in the living room standing by the pellet stove. And I said, there's no other people in our house. It's just us, buddy. So, well, can you tell me what they look like? And he said, well, Mom, one was really tall and one was really short, and they were really dark and fuzzy. And when I looked at them, they moved really fast and ran away. Totally freaked the hell out of me. And how does a 5-year-old know anything about that? As you know, never watched any TV shows at the time, never knew about ghosts. So totally believe him. Never happened again. He never mentioned that again, never seeing the shadow people. They never came back. Later on that winter, he started having nightmares. In his room, he would wake up screaming, yelling, bizarre, because he never had them before. And one morning, I remember him waking up and telling me that in the middle of the night, someone had come to him and got in his face and screamed at him, come here. One of the scariest things ever. He told me he heard a little girl screaming. This is all coming from a 5-year-old. Now, we have a Native American friend. I told him about it, and he come over, basically blessed the house, went around with some sage, did the doorways, said some of his prayers. And ever since then, nothing's happened. And my son's never mentioned anything before. Every once in a while, we hear a door shut, things of that nature, but nothing else weird. So that's my story. Thanks for listening.
Well, I'm so-and-so. I was given this name by my parents. I've been to such and such a college. I've done these things in my profession. I produce a little bar. Buddha says, forget it. I love you. That's some story. That's all gone. That's all past. I want to see the real you you are now. Well, nobody knows who that is. Because we don't know ourselves except through listening to our ignorance. Solving our memory. But then there's a real you, and that again leads us back to this question. Who are you? That is the real you. We shall see how they play with this exam. By the koans, to get you to come out of your shell and find out who you really are.
sir, when you settle down in the train and read your newspaper and so on, you are not the same person who a little while ago left the platform. If you think you are linking your moments up in the chain. And this is what binds you to the wheel of birth and death. But when you know that every moment in which you are is the only moment, this comes into Zen. A master will say to somebody, now get up and walk across the room. And he comes back and says, where are your footprints? They've gone. So where are you? Who are you? When we are asked who we are, we usually give a kind of recitation of a history.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise. Having fun in the sun or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.